John continued writing to Polly, and she responded with notes of kindness. With absence, the hearts grew fonder. John prepared to ask Polly's hand in marriage when he returned. When the long trip home was completed, John went to stand before his beloved Polly. He did his best to say the words that he had often rehearsed in his mind.
At first, I refused, adding that he should not ask me again. However, John persisted with all sorts of reasonings and said that I would be better off as a Mrs. John Newton rather than a happy Polly Catlett. Finally, I gave my hand in consent. John stood speechless. We fell forever in love and were happily married on the 1st of February, 1750.
For the next 4 years, the 25-year-old Newton became the captain of a slave ship, ferrying black African natives to the British colonies in America. Although John did not enjoy the long months away from home and his Polly, he looked on his work as a respectable occupation. After all, slavery was a universal practice of the day and protected by British law. Later in life, John would say,
"During the time I was engaged in the slave trade, I never had the least scruple as to its lawfulness. I was, upon the whole, satisfied with it, as the appointment Providence had marked out for me. However, I was sometimes shocked with an employment that was perpetually conversant with chains, bolts, and shackles."
Though he was now a Christian who tried to show kindness to the slaves, it was several more years before the new Captain Newton became appalled at what he would call the dreadful effects of the slave trade on the minds of those who engage in it. After 3 voyages at sea, John grew weary of the long separations from Polly and came home to stay in the year 1754. He forever left his profession as a slave ship captain and became a tide surveyor in Liverpool. Those that knew John encouraged him to tell his life story and to speak out for the Lord. He soon became acquainted with George Whitfield and John Wesley, who also urged him to serve the Lord with whatever abilities he had. More important than that, his wife now publicly confessed Christ as Savior. In 1756, John was invited to formally give his testimony from a church pulpit. His first attempt at public speaking was a complete disaster, and John wondered if God could ever use him. However, John felt a continual call of God to preach as requests for his testimony poured in from around the countryside. After several years of preparation, John was called to be the pastor of a small congregation at Olney. The 39-year-old pastor often wondered why Christ would put him into the ministry, for he later would confess,
"No one could be more unworthy, for I had long been a persecutor and blasphemer, a profligate. And considering my situation, connections, and habits of life, no one could be more unlikely."
For 15 years, the Reverend Newton preached the Word of God to those at Olney. His life testimony as a former slave ship captain was especially effective in winning the lost. His genuine love for people and his straightforward preaching brought in people until the building was filled to overflowing. Of the many who sat under John Newton's preaching was a poet named William Cooper. John suggested that Cooper should write some hymn poems that could be sung by his congregation. In 1779, Newton published a collection of Cooper's songs along with many of his own and called it Olney Hymns. Among the many songs that expressed man's sin and need of salvation was Cooper's new hymn, "There was a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains."